Bless all of you who work with kids all of the time. Holy cow, it's hard work. One of my favorite things was always how kids get your attention. So there's the ones that are shy that will just kind of quietly pull at you or excuse me, tap at your shoulder until they get your attention. And then there's the ones that will say your name over and over and over again till you're finally going, what? You said it 6 times already, but they're just still trying to get your attention. The kids who know all the answers and are waving wildly, just waiting for you to notice them. And then my favorite, it's always been my favorite, little babies even do it. It's when they grab your face with both their hands and turn you towards them. There is no escaping that moment of attention. They've got your full attention and they know it. There's no, yes, honey, what do you need? It's they've got you. And every time we read this transfiguration story, that's what I see. It's like God trying to get the disciples' attention. And I think it worked. So we all know the story. Just the week prior, things in Jesus' ministry started to shift. And I think God needed to get the disciples' attention to get ready for what this shift is. So Jesus had been sitting with his disciples, and he asked them, who do people say that I am? And you guys are familiar with this story. We hear this often. Till Peter finally says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus starts to tell them this new thing, that he will be handed over, and he will be killed, and on the third day he will rise again. And that got the disciples' attention, but they didn't know what to do with it. And so now our scripture says 8 days later, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain to pray. It's his normal routine. Anytime that there's a big shift in Jesus' ministry, Luke always writes that he was off to the mountain to pray. And as they are all gathered up in the mountain, the disciples fighting some sleep, you know the shiny Jesus story. That things change, that his clothes become dazzling, his face is like the sun, he's shining and bright, and his disciples can't bear to look on him, and there's visitors. Jesus has company. And he talks with Moses, the lawgiver, the great person of the historical faith, and he talks with Elijah, the person who worked the hardest to pull people back to God. And there's this moment where there's not a single doubt in the disciples' minds of just who Jesus is. That Peter's confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that there's no chance that they can doubt it. So we know that story. You hear it every year as part of the end of Epiphany. But we don't always hear what comes next, mostly because we focus on the shiny Jesus, the fun, the exciting, the moments where there's no doubt. Jesus walks down the mountain with his disciples. And they're in awe. They haven't said a word to anybody. They have no idea what they've seen. God's got their attention, but now what are they going to? And Jesus walks down the mountain with his disciples, and there's a crowd that's gathered. But they're not looking for teaching. They're waiting on a miracle. And as Jesus comes down the mountain, a father approaches him and says, please have mercy on my son. He is taken by a demon, thrown into convulsions, and your disciples can't do a thing about it. So the whole time Jesus is on that mountain, for at least that day, his disciples have been trying. They've seen Jesus do it. They're his followers. They should be able to do what Jesus does, right? And so they've been trying to cast out this demon, and nothing has happened. And Jesus says something a little harsh. You faithless and perverse generation. Perverse means stubborn, not perverted, but you stubborn generation, you stubborn people, faithless and stubborn. How long do I have to bear with you? It's really easy to be Peter, James, and John in that moment because they've seen Jesus transfigured. They've seen him changed. They've seen him transformed into who he really is. But the rest of the people down on the bottom of the mountain didn't see that. They didn't have that affirmation. They didn't have that gut knowledge that God is embodied in Jesus. "You faithless and perverse generation, how long must I bear with you and be with you?" We like to look for shiny Jesus. We like those moments when we're reading something in the Bible and it all of a sudden fits. Where we're reading and it works. And we feel we can close our Bible and set it aside because it was worth it. We got something out of Scripture. There's a whole lot more times that we read it and go, huh? And then move on. We like shiny Jesus, where we spend time in prayer and we walk away ready for what's coming. Where we walk away feeling like God is with us, feeling like there's peace, feeling like God cares. Or we look for those moments in our life when things click, when a job opportunity opens, or a new treatment is started, or where something just is going to work. And we look at those moments as the moments when God showed up. But maybe we're stubbornly looking in the wrong places. Maybe we're looking for the big, shiny, fancy things that might affirm our faith, but we usually end up setting them aside. Maybe we're looking in the wrong places. There was a couple, when I served on internship, they were Becky and Steve, and they were in the middle of raising three kids and had some pretty serious jobs. One was a chiropractor in his own clinic, and Becky was a CPA. And they came to church almost every week. I was amazed because I was single and I was tired, and I didn't want to go to church, and I had to. And so they were there almost every single week. And one week, Steve came with just two of the kids. And so after church, we would sit and visit a little bit. And, "Steve, how are you doing?" And he was like, "I'm all right." And, "Well, how's Becky? Is everything okay?" And he kind of gives me this little, like, shy smile. And he's like, "Yeah, I won." Uh-oh. Let me go talk to the pastor and get some marriage counseling. It turns out that morning, their oldest daughter had gotten sick. And the two of them sat down and did this really quick run-through of their week. Like, "How was yours? How was it?" And they decided who needed church more. And Steve winning meant that his week was harder than Becky's. That couple knew where to go when things were rough. They knew that they needed church. They knew they needed just one moment to breathe in God's presence in the middle of living in the valley. Not the shiny Jesus moments where everything is right and everything is good and I'm going to go to church because I have to thank God, but they knew that when they couldn't thank God, they still needed to be at church. And I love that they argued over who needed Jesus more that week. God does not leave us in the times when we need him most. God does not live up on a mountain as shiny Jesus, where everything is nice and everything is wonderful and there is no doubt and there is only faith. God doesn't live there. God lives with us when things are not clear. God is with us when we doubt, when we read Scripture and go, "There's nothing here for me. I don't understand it." God is here with us in the middle of trying to pray and not seeing any results, not feeling like God is there or not seeing our friends be healed. God is with us when our lives are falling apart. The same God who is all-powerful, almighty, and all-glorious are those same things for us when we're falling apart. We all need the God who is with us. We all want shiny Jesus, but we all need the God who comes down off the mountain with us, who stands with us in those times. So whether you are feeling close to God or you feel that God is far, far away, our God does not abandon you. Faithless and stubborn though you may be, our God is one that comes off the mountain, that comes and stands with us in the times that we are most in need, who grabs our attention and says, "Listen. Listen to what God has for you. Listen as Christ is revealed to us every day." May the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. sky is